You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to my couch, as you always are this time. You know why we say the couch. It's the old classic Freudian thing, right? Lay on my couch and tell me, how does that make you feel? Well, we're going to talk about feelings and also awakenings, finding our true passion, and so many things. And so many people ask me how each and every one of us can experience true purpose, bliss. How can we find our purpose? And what are some of the amazing clues and messages that we get from the universe? Should we be listening more carefully? Well, my guest today is Alejandra Brady, and you've heard about her. She's world-renowned. She's a very famous feng shui artist as well. But you know what? She has an amazing book that she's going to share with us as well and talk about her personal experiences, which were kind of like opening up as a roadmap to some of her own spiritual journey. And her latest book, ready? I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, Overcoming Fear and Accepting My Spiritual Gifts. Yeah, girl, I know Amazon didn't like that, did they?
Not said, very
hey,
much.
You know, you can't say the S word, but you know what? You can hear on the couch. So thank you for coming on, Alejandra. Well,
thank you for having me, Michelle. And yes, yes, it has been a little bit more challenging with the, you know, the advertising. I mean, they sell it on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and everywhere, but and I'm totally okay with it. Because the people that need to find it are going to find it anyway. And
there you go.
That's who's going to read it. And that's all that matters. So I'm okay with it all.
Well, your book, you know, it's really engaging and it was entertaining and the way it flowed. And it kind of keeps readers saying, what's going to happen next to this girl? Oh, my God. You know, it's like you've been so much. We were talking briefly, you know, before we went live. And maybe you can share some of that, too. But congratulations, because I know your book was featured as a finalist by the Eric Hoffer Awards and the finalist also in the Indie Book Awards. And that's pretty cool.
And it won one. I think the one that it won may have been the Indie. I can't remember. One of them it won. It was a finalist for two awards and it won one award and it's a bestseller now. So it's getting to the people that need it. And that's what's important to me.
And that's it. People show up. Mm-hmm. This show, because for some reason they need it, not only because I put it out on social media, but something, you know, some of the words within that just sort of, they vibed with or connected with. So let me just do a quick bio and then you can fill in all the rest because I want you to share your journey. You are an incredibly sought after and successful feng shui consultant, combining the Eastern art of home energy enhancement and also your intuitive knowing, which I really want to get into, about the clients and the energy that you feel in the homes. And that's a thing. I mean, that is like, wow, when you walk into someone's home, right? It's like, whoa. But anyway.
And we've all felt that, right? And everyone's face.
Yeah, no kidding. No, exactly. And so I want you to tell your story to viewers and listeners about your amazing journey and all these wonderful people that came into your life and how you really did discover your purpose. So why did you decide, or what was it that helped you decide to go into, is it, I always pronounce it feng shui, but is it feng shui?
No, it's feng shui. You pronounce it correctly. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. At least that's the way I pronounce it as well. You know, I hear people, and if I'm talking to someone abroad, sometimes they say feng shui and, you know, I don't know that there's a right or wrong, but I say what you say. I say feng shui. So that's how I pronounce it as well. So why did I decide to go into it? That is your question. It found me.
Okay.
And I always feel that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, right? We've all heard that. And I think that was the case here. I'd already been doing interior design for a little over 15 years at that point in time. Very unexpectedly, honestly, it did just drop in my lap. Very unexpectedly, I found out I needed to have cervical fusion, as we were talking about before the show. So I have a plate in my neck. There was nothing wrong with my neck.
Yeah. But
So this was really out of the blue. I turned 50 in September.
No, and you then, didn't.
Well, I'm 50, I'll be turning 57 actually.
No, you won't. But, you're 32, girl. You are
inside.
32,
I am. Inside, you. I am. But on the go. Outside, the physical biological age is about to be 57. But when I was turning, I turned 50 that September, and that October, I got the news that I needed to have the fusion. I just started dropping things. All of a sudden, things kept falling out of my hands.
What?
Back to my husband. And he said, you know, I'm not telling you it's an emergency, but I'm telling you that it has to happen pretty soon. So as things unfold in my life, I was working on a client's home at the time. And so I was telling her this, you know, because I'm like, I'm going to kind of need to wrap up projects and have this done. She, at that point in time, was way more energetically in tune than I was, and which is wonderful. I mean, she became one of my closest confidants. And she said, by the way, I'm having this feng shui master come to my home. And she said, if we both do consultations that day, she won't charge us travel time because she was driving in from Naples. Wow. I don't know why, because I didn't even know what it was at that time. But I just said, yes. I said, okay let's do it. That was it. Honestly, I didn't do any research. I didn't know anything about her. I just said, yes, I paid the consultation fee. She comes to my home. She's She's walking around my home, and within 10 minutes, she just looked at me and she goes, you know, you're going to be doing this as a living. And I was so laser focused on this surgery that I just remember looking at her and going, TikTok lady, you know, just tell me what I need to do to get ready for surgery. I don't want to do this. This is I have no interest in this. I just want to get what I need to do in our primary bedroom to get ready to recover from this surgery. Cause I was going to be in a neck brace for weeks and weeks. And I wanted my bedroom to be as good energetically as possible.
Sure you did.
I did what she suggested. The change in our bedroom and in my husband and I, we've been married 34 years now. So about 27 ish at that point, our relationship shifted. The energy in our bedroom shifted. A lot of stuff started shifting just by changing our bedroom because I do the same. When I do a consultation, I walk the entire space, right? Whether it's a bedroom, apartment, whatever.
Right.
But I only had the mental capacity at that point in time to work on the bedroom before I went into surgery. So this isn't like I feng shui'd my whole house. I just did what you told me in the bedroom.
Yeah.
My recovery was seamless. My husband came in and said, what room do you want to do next?
Because
he felt such a shift in the energy in our bedroom. So slowly but surely, as I recovered, I was my own guinea pig. We did our whole house. By the time I finished our house, I looked at him. I go, she was right. I need to do this. And he goes, yeah, you need to do this.
Yes.
So I reached back out to her. This is about six months later. And I said, you know, do you take on students? Do you have courses? Can you recommend a teacher? What do I need to do? Because you were right. I need to do this. Well, it turns out that she was quite world famous. Her book was translated into 9 different languages. She was one of the leading people in feng shui in the world.
Wow.
I didn't know any of that when I said yes.
Sure. Right.
You know, and she took me on as a student. I kept my design business closed until I got certified under her, which was a little over a year. And then I added it as a modality to my interior design business. So now I do them together. You know,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So now I'm able to create these spaces for people that are beautiful aesthetically, you know, because that is what I love.
Sure.
But energetically aligned for them as well. Whatever it is that they come with, you know, to me to work on. So
that's amazing. That is
cool. That's how feng shui came into my life.
Wow. What a great story. Now, for those who, and I'm sure a lot of folks know what it is, but those who maybe aren't so familiar with it, what are the concepts of feng shui?
I mean, there's so many different ways to describe it. I try and keep it really simple because it is such a layered practice that takes, you know, years and years and years to master. And I'm not a master, and I probably will not be in this lifetime because it takes like 50, 60 years.
Wow.
It basically is a way of working with the energy in your space to have it work for you and with you, and maybe not so much against you. So a very quick story to help describe it. It's Chinese. Its origins are Chinese, and it's been around for anywhere between 4,000 to 6,000 years, depending on what texts and books and records that you find. It was originally intended for royalty to help them figure out What is the most auspicious direction to face for temples, for palaces, for burial grounds?
Okay. That sort
of, so it's kind of started out as the land. And then when it was brought to the United States in the 80s by Professor Lin, he adapted it more to our homes and Western homes in particular, because layouts in Asian homes a lot of times are different than they are here in the Western world. So the type of feng shui that I am certified in that I practice is BTB feng shui, which is a more Westernized approach. And I do always like to make that clear because there are different styles.
Interesting.
And when people get super confused is when they take a little bit of one style, a little bit of another style, and they're like,
right,
this one says to do it like this, but then this one says to do it like this. So my recommendation is always to find one that resonates with you, maybe get a book or two, or find people on Instagram. And if you resonate with someone, find out what style they practice and then kind of stick to that style. So
interesting. Yeah.
Basically, I can talk to your home. My superpower is I can walk into your home and your home can kind of tell me what's going on. Because of my feng shui training, because of my intuitive gifts, all of that kind of comes together. And I can see if your home is helping or perhaps hindering the direction that you want your life to go in.
What a gift. I mean, so were you always open to people's energies? I mean, were you always sort of an intuitive person? I kind of have that feeling, but, you know, sometimes we don't super realize it, but.
My guess is yes. And I didn't get it till I started writing the book and connecting the dots of my life from childhood through adulthood. But I had no idea. I've always been a super sensitive child. I was a child that hid like behind her mom's skirts at parties. Aww. And my mom would be like, why are you so shy? My mom was so outgoing and had a million friends and was super popular. And I was none of those. And she's like, what's going on with you?
Like,
I don't get you. But I think it was because I could take in everyone's energy and I would feel it.
Right.
And I can also kind of, which a lot of people don't like, right? I can kind of see through the BS.
Yeah.
So if someone's being super fake or if their energy is just not with good intentions, I can feel that. And I don't think that people like that around them. I've had them. The first memory I have had is when I was 16 that my boyfriend tragically died in a car accident overnight.
Oh my God.
And this is 1984. So there's no cell phones, there's no TVs in the bedrooms, no phones, none of that stuff. And he came to visit me. So one of my gifts is that I was able to, not as much anymore, some other gifts have taken over. But for a few years, I was able to see people who've passed, like the way I see you.
Wonderful.
You know, physically.
Yeah.
Not as much anymore.
Yes.
But very strong as a child in my early 30s and even into probably my mid 40s. And then that kind of slowed down and other gifts took over.
That is amazing. You know, who are they? Some of the people who I've interviewed who are into, you know, energy and perception, being able to open ourselves up to other situations and people and frequencies or whatever you want to call it, dimensions or whatever, you know, we're really capable when we're little ones. And you were amazing. Of course, you were sort of like with people. You see little kids like this, they kind of shy away from some and then they really want to be with other people.
Right.
So it is energy. And of course, everything is, and according to the Institute of Heart Math, everything is energy.
Right?
We're all photonic beings and we're exchanging that constantly. And we all have different, energies that we're putting out, whether it's 3 feet, 9 feet, as Dr. Joe Dispenza says, many of us do, or 30 feet. A lot of children have like 30 feet, right? So the thing is that I think we all have that capability to do it, but we're so caught up in trying to survive or whatever, frontal lobe craziness and social media and life. And I'm not blaming social media, but I'm just saying, you know, there's so many stressors and pressures and trauma growing up and things that I think it really interferes with our ability that you have opened up and had since you were a little one to just feel energies. You know, so that's cool.
And what other people might think of you, right? We all get caught up in that as well.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
You know,
Oh yeah.
Whether people mean well or not, you know, yeah, but sure. It's like, I've been called everything from, you know, of the devil, evil.
Oh my God.
To a witch, to my gifts are from God. And I'm like, yeah, I choose that one. That's what I think.
That's the one and I know kind of your family was saying things about you that weren't very nice.
Well, and you know, again, since you read the book, you understand that they ended up being some of my greatest teachers,
yes,
right? But
yes,
when
they
people
are.
Live in fear and are in a place of fear, everything seems fearful to them, right? So I'm
so
just
true.
Getting these gifts, trying to understand them myself, trying to put words to what was happening to me.
Right.
And
sure.
To them, it was of the devil and they were evil. You know, my gifts were evil, not they.
Yeah, right. No.
You know, and it's like, no. I don't know what to do with that information.
It's right. I mean, you're like, and I hope you didn't feel that and go, God,
I've never
I
felt
am
that.
Evil. Okay, good.
I've never felt that. I disagreed from that moment on. And in all honesty, that is a relationship that up until now has not been able to be repaired.
Sure.
I never say never, you know, because we never know.
No, of course.
But given where they were when I decided that it was no longer in my best interest to be, you know, in a relationship with them and where I am, I don't know that anything's going to change. And that's okay. We all are on our own journeys and everybody is where they need to be during this point, during this lifetime. And,
it's
you know,
true.
that is part of a spiritual journey. Unfortunately, the journey's not all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. You are going to lose people along the way.
Right.
And you have to be okay with that, you know, to move forward.
Gosh.
But
no, you're right. No, you're so right. I mean,
other people will come in their place.
That's
who
true.
Are more aligned.
That's true. You know, and you're right. We do learn a lot from people who maybe we choose not to have, you know, a relationship or still connect with because it is. It's about energy as well. And it's not that they're bad.
No.
People are just fearful and they don't understand or they've been brought up in a particular religion or belief
correct.
System. And if something's like, correct. You know, it's the old witchcraft.
Well, and that was the case. Religion
right?
was the case in this instance. And
yep.
again, I'm super
yep.
respectful of their beliefs.
Sure,
so I never
sure.
try and bring that in. But nope. They were not being respectful of mine or me.
Sure.
So, you know, when you can't be mutually respectful, then the relationship can't continue.
Yeah. And that's so true. And you know, when you're called, you're that of the devil, you know, it's really tough. Yeah.
Yep.
But no, I mean, that's really... really a hard journey. But the book, by the way, folks, in case you just tuned in, it's Alejandra Brady, and her book is called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, Overcoming Fear and Accepting My Spiritual Gifts. And I think a lot of people who have awakenings, let's just call it, you know, they're kind of like, huh? I mean, when your 16-year-old boyfriend who unfortunately passed, transitioned, and came to you, were you scared or did you say, oh, we were very connected or I have gifts or how was that received? Did it?
Honestly, it was very matter of fact on my end. He came to say goodbye.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I can tell you what he was wearing. I can tell you, he just came and said goodbye, you know, bye Ale, because he called me Ale, short for
yeah.
Alejandra.
Yeah.
I love you. That was all he
oh,
said. And I said,
yeah.
bye. And then I woke up the next morning because this was in the middle of the night on a Sunday night. So the really wild thing about this too is I'm adopted and my gifts are bloodline gifts. So my gift is not from my mom,
okay.
but my adopted mom, who I call mom. I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what happened that Sunday, but I was not in trouble. I didn't get grounded, but she just said, no, you can't go with him in the car.
Wow.
Everybody in the car
right.
died.
Oh,
they all died.
God.
Three people died. The only reason I didn't is because I wasn't in it because my parents at the last minute for absolutely no reason that made any sense to me because I went up to my room kicking and screaming and yelling,
sure.
just said I couldn't go. But, you know, I think her instincts saved
yes.
my life in that situation. So I woke
yes.
up very early on Monday to go to school and I was a junior in high school and I walked into my parents' bedroom and my mom was holding the receiver with the cord attached to it, again, 1984.
Right.
And her face was all red and you can tell she'd been crying. And I just said to her in Spanish, because Spanish is my first language, I just said, I don't want to go to school. And
yes.
she said, why? And I go, because, and I said his name, you know, died last night. And she just looked at me
Wow.
And I'd go, he did, right? And that's what she was being told on the phone.
Wow.
And she just looked at me and she goes, yes, mijita, he did. So I sat down on the edge of the bed. Oh. I waited for her to finish her conversation. And she said, you don't have to go to school. And then she told me what happened. But we never talked ever that I have any recollection of about the fact that I saw him come.
Yes.
Like that just never was part of the conversation.
Right,
so then when it happened again, you know, and then it happened when she died and it happened when my dad died and it's happened, you know, it happened quite a few times after.
Yes.
It just never occurred to me that everybody didn't have this.
Oh, right. This is what I've heard. It's like, isn't everybody,
right.
You know,
so I guess I never, you know, I didn't talk about it to people
because
I didn't think it was weird or different or special or whatever word you want to use to describe it. I just thought, well, if I can do it and she didn't think it was a big deal that I saw him in the middle of the night, then surely it was, she never even asked like, how do you know? Or like, it was just like, yep. You're right.
That's
you don't have to
amazing.
Go to school.
So, isn't that lovely that she was so accepting and loving to
I guess
be
so.
To...
Yes, I guess so. I guess she was accepting in her own way without having a conversation about it. I think if my son came and told me like that, maybe I'd ask a few questions, but who knows? I mean, it was traumatic in itself. There was a funeral. There you know, who knows? She may, not that I remember though, to the best of my recollection, I don't remember any conversation about, hey, that's weird that that happened, you know?
Right. Interesting. I mean, that is really a cool thing. And I'm blown away. So can you share some of the other sort of awareness or spiritual sort of gifts you have or other things that have come to you that you describe in your book that were pretty
awesome? Oh, so many. Where do you want to go with that? So my strongest at this point in time is clairaudience. I get messages. I'm highly, highly clairaudient. So
yes.
I will get messages for other people. I will get messages for myself. So if we go back to when I first said yes to feng shui and I decided to start studying feng shui, I also decided at that point in time that if I was going to bring this modality into my business, I probably needed to learn more about other modalities because the new clients that I would be attracting would be like the one client I had. She'd know so much. They'd know so much more about all things spiritual that I didn't even realize I knew. So I decided to learn meditation. And I took a class to learn how to meditate quietly. But up to this day, I love guided meditations. And that's what I practice daily are guided ones.
Good.
But at the beginning, I wanted to learn how to do it. You know,
sure.
So one of my very first meditations, I was asking, again, I was 50. I'm recovering from this surgery. My business is closed down. I'm considering feng shui. Our son had just graduated from college and we've moved him to Chicago. He's living his best life. So I'm a true empty nester going through all these transitions. And I asked one day during meditation / prayer, call it whatever works for you. To me, it's all the same. And I just said, what is my purpose? Like, what am I here on this planet to do at this time? Because I don't know which way to go here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, my son obviously didn't need mom on an everyday basis anymore. Like my roles were shifting and changing.
Sure.
And when I asked that, a voice came in very strongly in my right ear who said, you're going to write a book. And just like I told the feng shui practitioner, I said, no, thank you. What else you got for me?
Too much.
I don't want to write a book. I don't want everything that goes along with writing a book, which includes talking to people. Because remember, I was a child behind my mother's skirts. I don't like talking to people. I don't like getting in front of people to talk to them.
Sure.
I don't like being on camera. You know, you can take all the pictures you want of me, but live and conversations and all the stuff that I'm doing now, I'm like, hell no. And I don't want to be quote unquote famous. Like none of that appealed to me. Never has. I had a great life already. There was no reason why to put myself out there in any way, shape or form.
Wow.
And so I just said no. And I came back every day during my meditation. And for 5 days in a row, I asked the same question and I got the same answer. And finally, the fifth day I said, who are you? And he said, it's Archangel Michael.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I've been told by other people, and I choose not to believe them, that, you know, you can be deceived into thinking that it's Archangel Michael and you should only work with the Holy Ghost. I'm like, that's who told me he came to me. Again, I only work in the light. So to me, it was Archangel Michael and it still is Archangel Michael. I think I have angels and guides all around me at all times. And I love that. So when they choose to come through and talk to me, Yeah. I'm all ears, you know?
That's amazing.
So then that's I just beautiful. Said, fine, I surrendered on the fifth day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But then I said, all right, what am I writing a book about?
Yeah. Okay, well, right.
Just telling me to write a book doesn't mean that there's instantly a book here to go on sale, right. You know? Right. And I got told to just start writing down what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. All right, what's happening to me? So some days, literally, I would write down, this is bullshit. Nothing has happened. You right. know, who cares? So that's some of my journal entries. And then other days, then things actually did start to manifest and start to unfold and start happening to me. And I would write down, you know, pages of stuff.
Sure.
And the more that I opened to being aware of what was going on around me and the signs and symbols that were coming through and the people that were coming into my life out of for no reason, then I'm like, oh, okay, so something is happening. So that's kind of how it all started unfolding. I just started writing what was happening. And then the challenge was, right, to then go backwards, right, and connect the dots as to, well, where did all this originate, which goes back to my first instance that I can remember at 16. And then connecting the dots and going, oh my gosh, this has been happening for so long and I didn't even know that it was a thing.
Yes.
So it was very healing for me along the way too, to kind of have to dive back into some very deep topics like my mom's passing and my dad's passing that nobody would want to revisit and have to rewrite their parents' death over and over, you know, and the editor would be like, no, I need you to tell me how you really feel. Cause you're describing it as if, you know, it's a car accident that you watched on the street. And I'm like, well, because it's painful. I don't want to go back there, but in order to heal, you got to go through it. So it helped me heal. Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we have to go through a lot of our feelings and experience it, and not to regrow those neural patterns to perseverate constantly. So we're like fearful of car accidents ourselves, but there is something to be said. You are so right, Alejandra, about, you know, us needing to feel it, cry it out, experience it, love, send the love. And, you know, as you said, I guess we have our own journey. Mm-hmm. And so I think viewers and listeners would like to know, you know, how to unlock, because I know, you know, we all have these gifts within us, how to sort of unlock our own ability to not necessarily speak to those who've passed or, you know, I don't know if you can summon someone who's transitioned, you know, come and talk to me or where are you, but open ourselves up to various experiences and have other people come to us to bring us, you know, enlightenment or gifts or information to help us along our journey of purpose. So can you suggest some of the ways maybe?
I mean, I can only suggest what I've gone through and what I did and what worked for me. First of all, I believe every single one of us who is alive has gifts. And I do mean multiple gifts. I don't think just one. I do feel that they're all different. You know, I don't feel everyone's going to be clairvoyant or everyone's going to be clairaudient. Right. I mean, how boring if we all had the same gift, right?
So, right.
Yeah. But yeah. I do believe that we all have them. And I do believe that if you sincerely ask, like I asked, what is my purpose?
Yes.
You know, I think if you meditate, pray, connect with spirit, God, universe, whatever the right word is for you, connect truly in a place of stillness and ask for your gifts. You know, that's what I have a daily meditation practice. And when I say daily, I mean, at least a good 5 days out of the week.
For sure.
I have my own meditation room in the house now. So I have my quiet place to go. And, you know, I just go in there and some days I just don't feel like going through a whole meditation, but I will take at least 5 minutes every day to be still and quiet and just say, you guys have anything for me today? Is there anything I need to work on? Is there anything I need to know? Is there anything I need to do? Is there any way for me to help somebody? You know, just as we were talking about before we came on, before I come on to any interview or I talk to any client, you know, I clear myself first because I want to come in from a neutral energetic standpoint, not whatever baggage I've had up to this point of the day.
Sure.
Although today was a good hair day. I got my hair done this morning. So I'm like, perfect.
You are having a beautiful hair day.
A good hair day makes everything better, right? So I'm already coming with good vibes.
You're so cute.
But you know, come in clear and then just truly ask how you can be of service. And that's when I think the gifts start to unfold, is when you don't want them, like, it's not a party trick, right? I'm not going to go to a party and start going, hey, your Uncle Bob's here and wants to chat with you.
Oh my God, I know.
You're asking from a point of view of wanting to be of service to others. Right. And then just ask your guides, just say, you know, God, spirit, universe, my spirit guides, archangels, whatever resonates for you, please show me my gifts and show me how to use them.
And
then pay attention, keep a journal, pay attention to things that are happening around you, because you will start to get signs. And from everything that I've learned from all the amazing teachers that I've worked with all over the world at this point now, is that the more you are open to them, the more they want to communicate with you, and the more excited they get that you can feel that they are around.
Right.
You know, they will start to show themselves to you, whoever it is. My father's dad loves to send us dimes, and he sends me dimes in like random places.
Yes.
I mean, I'm making a bed at a 5-star hotel where the bed's been made, and there'll be a dime like on the
table.
My husband and I are like, oh my God. Hey, hi dad. You know, I mean, this is a true story. On Father's Day this year, we were in Aspen for the Food and Wine Festival. I step into the elevator on Father's Day. There's a dime. I step on it. So 2 days before, we'd been walking down the street and I'd bought something that I probably shouldn't have bought because it was more expensive that I needed to spend money on. Does everyone need gold cowboy boots? Maybe not. But I'm like, I'm in Aspen. It feels right. So I bought them and I'm feeling semi-guilty. I'm walking down the street. There's a dime. There's no other change anywhere, by the way. Like, it's not like somebody dumped in their pocket or anything. One dime. I'm like, oh, good. Dad says it's fine. So then we're walking down the side of a mountain again on Father's Day. I've already found my dime. And in grass that's about a foot high on the side of a mountainside, as we're climbing down, I look down and I see something and I pick up this handful of quarters. It's 16 quarters. So my dad's birthday is June 16th, which was Father's Day.
Oh my gosh.
Which was June 16th. And there was 16 quarters. At first I was like, $4? What does $4 mean? Why $4? This is a weird amount. Yeah. And then my daughter-in-law pointed out, she goes, no, it's 16 quarters. I'm like, it's June 16th and it's Father's Day. And Art's dad already sent me something. So my dad's sending me something too to let me know, you know, that they're around. So I love that. That kind of stuff just makes my day.
Doesn't it?
I accept it all as just beautiful gifts that they're trying to show us that they are around us all the time.
Yes.
And the more that I look for it, the more it happens.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's the key too, is just not necessarily when are you going to bring me, but it's more like I'm open to knowing that all these things are here and I'm open to your signs from the universe, I guess, as you call it, you know.
And you can ask them, what signs should I be looking for? And a lot of times they will share that with you. I just had a client who sadly her dog passed yesterday, so she had to cancel our appointment.
Yeah.
But she texted me and she goes, what do I do? Like, how do we do this? I'm like, you're just with her at the end. You tell her you love her. You tell her it's okay to go. And then ask that if she wants to come through you through some signs to maybe show you what that sign might be, so that you know that when you see whatever it is, that's her talking to you, or that's her letting you know her little spirit's still around.
Sure.
And then the other thing I would say is work with reputable teachers who can help you with your gifts, because that was a big part for me. I worked with a lot of teachers who helped me understand them, who helped me learn how to use them in the highest and greatest good, only and of the light at all times to help others, and also how to protect myself. I feel this is super, super important to share. And I'm being told very strongly to share that as you open, you know, you're the light post in the middle of the mall parking lot. Like, everything can come to it because it's a little light in a lot of darkness, right? A lighthouse, picture a lighthouse.
Sure.
So you have to also learn the right way to protect yourself so that everything can't come in.
And how do you do that, Alejandra?
The way I personally do it is every morning and every evening, during my quiet time and my prayer time, I just say, you know, please protect me from all things that I'm unable to protect myself from, you know, and then I clear myself. I now call back all my energy to my body for today, and I release anything that isn't mine to carry. So those are some of the tools that I use. I, before and after this interview, and I do this with every interview, You know, I clear myself with Palo Santo really quickly, again, so that the energy goes back to neutral before and after. I have clear quartz always near me when I'm doing it. And then, not because I created it, because you can make your own, but my bras full of crystals. I did create a kit called Broshway. I was doing a workshop of feng shui and crystals, because I'm also certified in crystal healing. And I was doing this workshop for just, you know, how to work with feng shui and crystals in your home. And it was all women. And so I just go, oh, and look, and I just pulled out of my bra. I'm like, and you can wear them on you too. And somebody goes, it's Broshway. And I'm like, and I am stealing that, and I am creating this Broshway.
That's so funny. I love that.
So you're I have cute. Broshway, pocket shway, because we don't want to get the guys out, sleep shway and car shway, you know? So super easy, super fun. You can make your own, you know, but just have some protection. And you know, just something that helps you feel like you're putting on your armor. For the day, so you can go out in the world and project love and project positive and but not take on everybody else's stuff, so that you're completely depleted by the end of the day. Because I didn't know that at the beginning. I was exhausted every day.
Oh, for sure. And especially, you know, when you, after you have surgery, which you experience sometimes, you know, our bodies and cells have to heal and all that. And it just takes a little while. And it, you know, people see their energetic kind of imprint and they're still healing, and it takes a little while. So you came out and just, wow. And the, another thing about you, that's really cool, is that you don't have an ego about this. It's like you said, you're shy. I mean, you present beautifully and you're lovely and your book's cool. And your interviews are really open and good and informative. But I mean, you have this sense of, you know, look at me. I'm so cool. I'm so gifted. You have your ego in check, girl. It's just sort of been you, I think, always.
Thank you. I think maybe I truly am coming from a place of how can I help, you know, and how can I change others' lives? Like, I mean, the whole purpose of doing this, everything that's out of my comfort zone, is to be of service. It's not about me, but I never wanted, and maybe it's because I'm not a person who ever wanted to be famous or have that attention. And maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But for me, it truly is just, this is my calling on this planet at this time, and I'm fulfilling my purpose, and that's all that I can ask to do.
Oh, that's beautiful. By the way, guys, you got to check out Alejandra Brady's book. It's called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, Overcoming Fear and Accepting My Spiritual Gifts. And it really is about her journey and everything that she's learned and opened herself up and how people and guides, those who've transitioned have come to her. The audio clairvoyant stuff is very cool. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of, to some people, they go, do I have schizophrenia? Am I hearing voices? Well, you are hearing voices, but they're very succinct and clear in what they're saying. So,
That's why it's important to work with good teachers, because I did think I was losing my marbles a little bit at the beginning. You know, you do wonder. You definitely do wonder. And, you know, I did one of my favorite stories is I did my very first past life regression. And I came home and, oh my God, I love doing that.
That is so cool.
And it's so interesting how it ties together to quirks and things that I have going on in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And it ties directly to previous lifetimes, you know? So I'm like, oh, that's why I can't stand to have my feet dirty. Now I get it. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting to see how things correlate. But I did my very first one, and I came home from that, and my husband was waiting for me. He had a beer in his hand. He had a glass of champagne for me. He goes, tell me about it, right?
Yeah.
So very long story, and I do go into detail in the book about it because it is a fascinating experience. But long story was, I was supposed to use my voice, and I was supposed to share my story, and that was going to be of help to people. So the bottom line was, you need to stop being afraid, and you need to go out and talk. And share your story and help people. And so at the end of all this, I'm telling my husband this, and he literally looks at me and he goes, but you're not going to share this with anyone, right? They're going to think you're crazy.
Oh,
and
no. I'm like, you're going, wait.
So, you know, part of the journey as well is that even if somebody is well-meaning and your biggest supporter. You know, my husband's known me since we started dating when I was 18 years old. Again, I'm going to be 57 next month. So we've been together for quite some time.
Amazing.
You know, so
awesome.
He knew this one person up until 50. And then suddenly he's got this girl going, I'm just going to go find out who I was in my previous. He's like, right. You know, his head's spinning. So I get it. And he's nervous for me and he's afraid for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, you also need to be patient as you're going through this, not just with yourself and give yourself grace, but give grace to the people around you who are experiencing this new version of you, because it's going to be very unsteady for a bit for them as well, you know?
Oh, and yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And I just think that that's really good information to share with people, because I saw firsthand, you know, I didn't even show, my husband never read the book until it actually came out. Nobody read it. Only my editors and I, because I didn't want anyone's voice in my head telling me,
there
maybe
you
shouldn't include this. Maybe you should include that.
Yeah.
Or now you're friends with this person again. Why are you going to put this about them then if you guys are really good friends? I go, because that's how I was feeling at that point in time. And that is what happened at that point in time.
Right.
If I write a book from a healed point of view, then the person who's going through the journey, who's reaching out for the book to help them on their journey, is going to be like, well, she already sounds like she doesn't care that they said all this about her. It's like, no, I wrote it raw, you know?
That's right.
And I shared it raw. And you know that by reading it. And it's like, and it's great that we're at an amazing place now and all great friends and travel and do all sorts of stuff now.
Sure.
But at this point in time, this is how things were. And
that's,
I think
that
being authentic is going to be so much more helpful to people than just trying to make some of us villains and some of us victims. There's none of that in the book. I don't want anyone to be a villain or a victim. I'm not a victim. You know, it's like, this is just how mine went down. And I think a lot of people have shared with me their stories from all over the world at this point, saying their stories were very similar. Mine is not this exceptional story. I just was, you know, brave, smart, stupid, whatever you want to call it, enough to put it out there. I don't know.
But, no, it's wonderful. And you have obviously had these gifts ever since you were a little one. And we all do, as you said, but you were certainly open to them. And then, you know, as things pass on our journey, we get little nods from the universe or information start. And we all have different, I guess, gifts or way of, you know, getting messages from whoever, those who've transitioned or higher beings, angelic realm or whatever they are, which, you know, if you read a lot of the quantum physics information, this is possible because there's not just 3D everywhere. There's so many things. And like you said as well, prayer and connecting with whoever that higher power is that you believe. And the only thing that's kind of, I think, stands in the way is fear. And, and such as you said, you know, with some of your relatives who were like, oh, you're of the devil and you're, you know, no fear. This is not this because of the dogma that you've been raised in, family. It's no, you got to open yourself up to that. There is a beautiful realm of information and it's all good.
just to clear things up for people, because somebody may be going, well, wouldn't you have been brought up in that religion too if this is your, you know, your family? No, because I was adopted as an infant. So it was the biological mother side of the family that this conversation happened with. It wasn't the parents that raised me. So just in case anyone's listening going, well, how can you be a different saga? That is why.
That makes sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense, Alejandra. And it's just, you know, I mean, whatever religion or, you know, situation, spiritual environment we're raised in, you know, this is how we learn. And for some reason, you were meant to be raised in that environment and share these gifts with us.
Well, and I was raised Latin Catholic. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to say Latina.
Yeah, completamente Latina. You know, sitting around going, who were you in your past life? I mean, that wasn't.
Right.
You know, this was not something I was raised with either. So part of my journey was also, a big part of it was accepting these gifts, right? And not being.
Exactly.
Or feeling like I was going down a dark path because this was happening to me.
Sure.
You know, because again, I wasn't raised with it either.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. And that's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it's good or bad or judge it or anything like that. But whatever someone vibes to in terms of their belief systems and whatever they've been raised as is all good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always enjoy inviting the listeners and viewers to just explore, you know, their own truth. And if they're interested, you know, to go further with other gifts that they may embody and have not utilized yet, because of fear or dogma or what other people have told you, to just, you know, baby step into some of these things. And as mentioned, you know, a lot of folks who join us are kind of already there. They're not going to find, right. You know, they're not going to be interested in, you know, the type of thing that I share usually on the air.
And in my mind, they can coexist beautifully together.
Yes.
You don't, I didn't renounce my Catholic
side
or anything like that.
Sure.
I just am more open to the fact that there may be some stuff out there that I didn't know was out there before.
Absolutely.
You know, that's all. And assuming and going on faith, right? Because faith is when you can't see something and still believing in it.
There you go.
Going on faith that my gifts are of the light, that my gifts are here to be of service to others, that my gifts are from God. You know, I don't see the disconnect that a lot of people.
Right. No.
It happens to me with feng shui too. People are
No,
I don't believe in feng shui. Like, it's not a belief system.
Right. Exactly.
I don't believe in feng shui either.
Right. It's about energy systems.
It's just working with your home. Like, you know, I'm not asking you to change religion to, you know, believe in feng shui. And people are like, it's witchcraft. I'm like, no, it's so far from it. Like,
right.
But, you know, people will believe and will receive what they are ready to do so. And that's all you can say. And that's why it's like the people who are meant to read my book, the people that will come to me as clients are meant to be my clients. And I don't try and convince anyone. I don't try and argue with anyone. I'm just like, okay.
Sure.
You know, all
and
good.
No, exactly. And what's so cool is, you know, reading about your journey and sharing all of the wonderful things and not so what would seem not wonderful, you know, things that happened to you and along the way. But I mean, look at how far you've come and just been able to open up all this great information for everybody in your book. I just can't make this shit up.
Yeah.
Overcoming fear and accepting my spiritual gifts. And I could just see you, you know, in that picture that, you know, your people have said to me, you know, you're like out in this beautiful garden area and you're laughing, you know, you have this great beauty, you're lovely, but you're like cracking up and you have this, and it's like, you're saying, I just can't make this shit up.
So a little behind the scenes for you, we shot that in Phoenix, at one of the beautiful garden locations there, cause we were living in Sedona at the time. And that picture was the in-between pictures. You know, I was doing whatever the photographer was having
me do.
And my husband said something, and I couldn't even tell you what he said to me, but he said something that made me crack up. So I'm looking at my husband in that picture, cracking up at him. And that ended up being the title, you know, the cover.
Exactly. It's perfect. It's just
I think
perfect.
It was, I mean, when we were looking at all the different covers, I'm like, oh my God, I love this one because, you know, there are a lot of serious topics, but it's about also not taking yourself too seriously, right? Like,
that's lovely. Yeah, you know, that's really important.
I'm not some great thing. It's like, I'm just another person. I'm just out there sharing it. So,
you know,
it's about not taking myself that seriously, not taking maybe life that seriously, like just being along for the ride.
Exactly. We're just about out of time, Alejandra. And I just want to let listeners and viewers know what's the best way to get a hold of your book and find out more about you and all of your wonderful services.
Oh, sure. Well, my book is on Amazon. It's also on Barnes & Noble, and it's also on my website. You can reach out to me, especially if you'd like to do a consultation. I do them in person or virtually all over the world. You can reach out to me on my website. It's alejandrabrady.com. Super easy, and everything's on there. And I'm most active. I kind of had to pick one social platform because I just don't have the time or the bandwidth to be on a lot. Instagram for me.
Perfect.
So it's Alejandra G. Brady Lifestyled on Instagram. And, you know, you can send me a DM there if you want more information on a consultation or anything like that.
Perfect. Thank you for being here on the couch with me today. You're awesome.
Thank you. Likewise. Such a pleasure. Aww. Such a fun conversation.
It's very fun. Thanks for making the show so great. And we'll catch up again sometime soon, hopefully.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me here on the couch. And just to close, as I always say, take care of yourself first. And then you'll be great for others. All the gifts you have to give. Have a good one.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.